from the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
So beautiful here. For me, well, for me, it's like a dream come true. Can I ask you something? Is this heaven?
It's Iowa.
Iowa?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's not the Bill Show. It's Iowa.
Yes, it's if you build it, Ray, if you build it, they will come.
If you build it, they will come, Ray.
Yeah, they'll come, yes. Ray. Yeah.
The American people will come.
Yeah.
So welcome to the Bill Show, number 138.
It is 138. My goodness.
Yes. And we're all over the Iowa caucuses and the preparation for New Hampshire, which, by the way, is Tuesday.
Like a bad corn plaster.
Yeah, yeah, like flies on cow patties on an Iowa pasture, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you something. Iowa is heaven for ex-baseball players and, evidently, socialist candidates.
Refugee Canadians.
It was
a surprise.
Oh, shit, man. I'll tell you, watching Trump have to swallow shit.
Yeah.
And Bernie tying in
Iowa. I don't like losers. I'm a loser. So I don't like myself. I don't like losers.
I'll tell you, the last 2 weeks have been the most fun I have had for a long time with my pants on. This has been fucking fun.
Oh, even if I take my pants off, it's usually just because I've wet myself. Anyway, I don't like losers. You're a loser.
Yeah, the loser, evidently. Yeah.
Now he's Mr. Avis because number two tries harder.
Donald, we're really enjoying this.
He's going to go full on.
Well, you know what he already birther. Said? You know what he said this week? He said this week that they should do it again because it was wrong. It was wrong. They cheated. And I'm coming to the conclusion that Donald Trump is a big fucking pussy. You know, because he won't go to a debate because Megyn Kelly scares him. And she might be on her rags.
I mean, he's charted her periods. So,
yeah, I know. Which should have disqualified him immediately for being a sexist asshole. But the thing with Trump though is that, you know, he won't attend debates. Now he's whinging like a bitch because he had no ground game. He was asked basically by the media, what about your ground game? And I swear to God, there's a clip. He says, I don't know what a ground game is.
A ground game
is when you actually get the fuckers who come to your fucking professional wrestling bullshit to turn up and vote. And most of them are drunk.
Or like Jeb Bush, you talk to them and then they don't applaud.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you have to get in the clap.
Yeah, I saw that.
For conservatives, however, William, for conservatives, it could be that the Iowa caucus cup is a poison chalice. Because look at the last two conservatives who won the Iowa caucus.
Mike Huckabee and Rick Santorum. I think the Republican establishment, and we're going to have a little talk about that later, about the media establishment, the Republican standards establishment, and the reaction to Bernie. But I tell you, the Republican establishment is almost as mortified about Ted Cruz and his wackabilly evangelical bullshit.
Yeah.
So they're going to throw their money. I'll tell you, they're going to throw their money behind Rubio because he's the only one who has a chance of possibly catching him.
Yeah, but you don't think they're going to rehabilitate Jeb?
Are you kidding me?
I don't know.
That guy is roadkill. That guy is like, that guy so obviously blue gal on the professional left, which is a fantastic show. If you've seen it, Driftglass and Blue Gal, fabulous. Big plug.
Big plug. What did you say?
Why do you always go dirty? A big plug. And the basic thing is, that Jeb Bush doesn't really want to be president of the United States. You can see it in his body language. He just doesn't want to do it. And he's like one of those, you know, those daytime movies where, you know,
I did this to impress Dad,
you know. And, he's just not going to happen.
Yeah, Walton's Mountain. But
anyway, let's talk a little bit about polls, ladies and gentlemen, because I'll tell you.
Yeah, this, the polls.
This came out today, Randy, and this is an amazing thing. As you know, the Iowa caucuses and the Democrats were decided literally by a coin toss. They were that close. Hillary won narrowly, but get this. The newest Quinnipiac poll.
Oh, say that Democratic again. It makes my newest, pants tight. Go on,
The newest Quinnipiac University poll. In the Democratic race nationwide, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has 44% with Senator Bernie Sanders at 42%. This compares to 61-30% lead in December. He has managed to wipe off, oh my God, the national polls. He has jumped 12% just since, and Hillary has dumped down to 42%, and that's a national poll.
Yeah.
That is a national poll. The other national polls.
She's saying 2% is important.
A general election matchups among American voters show Sanders beats the shit out of Trump. Sanders beats Cruz. Sanders ties Rubio. Okay.
Sanders ties
Rubio, evidently, on that one. So Sanders definitely electable for 2/3 of that makeup there and ties. So you're looking at a guy who's managed to make up all this mileage in just literally the last. Well, no, I mean, he's been running for 8 months?
Yes, but this man has been on the radar since the 70s.
Oh, absolutely. But he's been on our radar because we're progressives.
When he decided to run, yeah.
The national media paid no attention to Bernie Sanders. I remember him standing up against the Bush tax cuts. I remember his lone voice in the fucking Senate for so many years. And then suddenly, they can't ignore him anymore. And one of the people that I want to send out a special love poem to, ladies and gentlemen, you might know of David Brooks. Yeah, David Brooks.
Young
yeah,
David.
David Brooks over at the PBS NewsHour, and apologist for the establishment Republicans at the New York Times, an absolute turd and a half. This is what David Brooks said. The day Bernie Sanders was put his hat in the ring to run against Clinton. Let's have a listen to the wisdom.
Plug up my ears. Just a sec. I want to hear this.
Let's have a listen to the wisdom of David Brooks. David, listen to this.
David, she has a challenger. Bernie Sanders, the senator from Vermont. Yeah. Does this upend Hillary Clinton's
She's
chances?
Finished. She's over. It's in some ways, I think Sanders will have a following. There's a yawning need for a real progressive. He certainly is that. And if you look at the candidates who get like youth cult followings, they're like Bernie Sanders. They're like Ron Paul, Eugene McCarthy. They're sort of older guys. They're a little crusty. They seem authentic. They are authentic. And they get weird youth following. So I think he'll get something like that. But in realpolitik terms, if you're going to have a challenger, you want one who can't win. And that's Bernie Sanders.
Oh, for goodness sake.
No, only cultists and young people and weird
crystal
people.
Pointers. Yeah, yeah, dope heads, yeah. You know, hippies, old hippies, yeah.
You know what I love about Brooks? It's that
I voted for McGovern. That was my first election.
I know you did, but you know what I love about Brooks is Brooks is such an insufferable asshole, and his condescendingness to Bernie's candidacy at that point. I have a little Boston thing that I want to throw at David Brooks. Boston, I thought of this when I heard this clip, David, and I thought of you right about now. And this is a clip from a nice Boston. This is a clip from a nice Boston movie that more or less encompasses my feelings toward you right now.
Do you like apples?
Yeah.
Well, I got a number. How do you like them apples?
Yeah, how do you like them apples?
Yeah, how do you like them apples?
Yeah, go fuck yourself, David Brooks.
Yeah.
Here, really, seriously, slide this one up one time into that large orifice. And... Yeah, that's right. I want to hear make that sound again. I want to hear David Brooks. Ah, yeah, like a terrible, terrible Tyrannosaurus sellout. Oh, yeah. Okay, give me a scream. I want to hear David Brooks scream. Yes, yes. Oh, Randy, this has been a fun week. Okay, listen, I have also a clip that I really wanted to bring up with you at the top of the show. This is a clip of the debate. Now, both Clinton and Sanders talked about on the last debate, just before the most recent New Hampshire debate, right after the Iowa caucus. Clinton got pissy with Hillary for saying that sometimes she's a moderate and sometimes she's a progressive. I don't think that's silly at all. I think that's more or less an accurate betrayal. But evidently...
No. Hillary Clinton is whoever you want her to be.
Yeah, it depends on when you ask her. And to illustrate that point, I know this clip goes on a bit. It's about a 7-minute clip.
Oh!
It is a long clip. But I want you to hear this story. This is a story told by Liz Warren in 2004. And this is a story about how well Hillary Clinton faced off against the finance services industry and Wall Street when she was a senator, okay? So this, I dug this off of Bill Moyers from 2004. I want you to listen to this story, and then we're going to talk about how progressive Hillary really is. Here's the clip.
You tell a story that, to me, illustrates what has happened to our political system in regard to the middle class, in regard to democracy in the country as a whole, and it involves Hillary Clinton.
I had written an op-ed about a piece of pending bankruptcy legislation. The credit card companies have been pushing to try to tighten the bankruptcy laws, sort of like locking the doors to the hospitals and then claiming nobody's sick in America. So they were trying to get the bankruptcy laws constricted so that fewer families could get in. Why? Because you can make more money if those families don't go into bankruptcy if you're a credit lender. And so I'd written an op-ed about how this would fall disproportionately hard on women who were raising families and who would be put in the position under this bill of trying to compete with Citibank, MasterCard, Visa, Bank One for getting alimony and child support from their ex-husbands. Mrs. Clinton evidently saw...
The First Lady.
The First Lady. She was then First Lady. This is in the 1990s, late 1990s. Mrs. Clinton saw the piece... And I got a call from the White House, and they said Mrs. Clinton was going to be in town to give a speech in Boston, and would I come and meet with her? I said, sure. And so I put together all my files. I show up at the appointed place. After she's finished her speech, we're ushered into a tiny little room somewhere in the bowels of this hotel, and just the two of us. They close the door. Mrs. Clinton sits down. We have hamburgers and French fries.
And you tutor her.
And she says, tell me about bankruptcy. And I got to tell you, I never had a smarter student. Quick, right to the heart of it. I go over the law. It's a complex law. Went over the economics, showed her the graphs, showed her the charts, and she got it. Within 20 minutes, she could play where the rest of it would come. Well, then that will mean this part's happened. That will mean this has happened. I said, yes, that's right. And at the end of the conversation, Mrs. Clinton stood up. She said, let's get our picture taken, which we did. And she said, Professor Warren, we've got to stop that awful bill, referring to this bankruptcy bill that's sponsored by the credit card companies. So I left. She went back to Washington, and I heard later from someone who was a White House staffer that there were skid marks in the hallways when Mrs. Clinton got back as people reversed direction on that bankruptcy bill.
They were supporting the industry, and because of her...
President Clinton had been showing that this was another way that he could be helpful to business. It wasn't a very high visibility bill. And when Mrs. Clinton came back with a little better understanding of how it all worked, they reversed course, and they reversed course fast. And indeed, the proof is in the pudding. The last bill that came before President Clinton was that bankruptcy bill that was passed by the House and the Senate in 2000, and he vetoed it. And in her autobiography, Mrs. Clinton took credit for that veto, and she rightly should. She turned around a whole administration on the subject of bankruptcy. She got it.
And then?
One of the first bills that came up after she was Senator Clinton was the bankruptcy bill. This is a bill that's like a vampire. It will not die, right? There's a lot of money behind it.
And the bill her husband had vetoed.
Her husband had vetoed it very much at her urging.
And?
She voted in favor of it.
Why?
As Senator Clinton, the pressures are very different. It's a well-financed industry. You know, a lot of people don't realize that the industry that gave the most money to Washington over the past few years was not the oil industry, was not pharmaceuticals. It was consumer credit products. Those are the people the credit card companies have been giving money, and they have influence.
And Mrs. Clinton was one of them as senator.
Yeah. She has taken money from the groups, and more to the point, she worries about them as a constituency.
So what does this mean, though, to these people, these millions of people out there whom the politicians cavort in front of as favoring the middle class and then are beholden to the powerful interests that undermine the middle class? What does it say about politics today?
You know, this is the scary part about democracy today. We're talking again about the impact of money. The credit industry on this bankruptcy bill has spent tens of millions of dollars lobbying. And as their profits grow, they just throw more into lobbying for how they can get laws that will make it easier and easier and easier to drain money out of the pockets of middle-class families.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess
she folded like a house of cards, Randy.
Yeah, but I'm guessing that probably put paid to Elizabeth Warren ever having anything to do with Hillary Clinton's campaign.
Well, I think Hillary will ally herself with what's necessary. But the important thing to remember is that in 2004, she was faced with a problem in which she had to regulate the financial services industry for either to rule on the side of financial service industries and against the normal everyday person who's, you know, trying to raise a kid. And
yeah,
guess where she went?
Whoever paid her the most money.
I mean, she said, so there's a difference. Once you get her into office, there's a difference there. Now, there are other things. Hillary, when she talks about being progressive, I don't know, because we're going to have a little moment here with our recurring segment, History of Shit.
History of Shit.
And that's the theme music there, History of Shit. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a few things. This is from the Daily Kos and talks a little bit about Hillary. Not only did Hillary favor the first Iraq war, we don't hold her up against that now because, you know, it's a statute of limitations. This is her record on the environment, Randall. Hillary broke with Democrats against ensuring the workers at the Rocky Flats Environmental Technology site would not receive life insurance, health, and life insurance benefits when their environmental work was terminated by the Republican Party. So these right. guys who are working at a test site for the Department of the EPA, fuck you with your life insurance. Hillary broke ranks with the Democrats and voted with the majority of Republicans to eliminate the requirement for reusable fuel in U.S. gasoline in 2004.
Renewable fuels, meaning like yeah. ethanol.
She broke ranks with Democrats and voted with the majority of Republicans to eliminate the requirements of reusable fuels in U.S. gasoline in 2004. So she was a Democrat, and she was taking money from fossil fuel. Hillary voted with Republicans for oil drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, good idea. Oh. What could happen? She voted to author.
They're British. They're British. Yeah, BP. Yeah, they're British. They'll take that's good care all right. of it. Yeah.
She also voted to authorize the state of Virginia to petition for authorization to conduct natural gas exploration and drilling activities in the coastal zone of the state. Yes, ladies and yes, she did. Yeah, that's right.
There's some natural gas.
I don't know.
There.
That's a gas thing. It's fracking, ladies and gentlemen. No, she actually decided not to vote at all on that. So she didn't register a no vote to that. Is Hillary pro-NAFTA? Yes, Hillary has made some lukewarm speeches about changing NAFTA. She also voted against the highly publicity CAFTA bill. However, these are the free trade agreements that Hillary has endorsed. The United States-Singapore Free Trade Agreement Implementation Act, the United States-Chile Free Trade Agreement Implementation Act, the Free Trade Oman Agreement. She voted in favor of Guantanamo. Hillary voted against the Byrd yeah. Amendment and against large majority of Democrats to reduce Guantanamo funding by $36 million. She joined the Republican majority against the majority of Democrats in supporting Guantanamo Bay. Does that sound progressive to you?
No, it doesn't. And, you know, NAFTA was under Bill, wasn't it?
NAFTA was under Bill, so, absolutely.
Yeah, so she wasn't going to go against that. So,
what I'd like to say to Hillary here is, and I know she listens to the show, and Hills, you know, I don't hate you. I really don't. But if you're going to get all sensitive about Bernie calling you a moderate, I can point to a lot of fucking stuff in your closet. And it's not that far. I have Google. So shut up about it. You're a moderate. It's fine. Yeah. What is a moderate?
Yeah.
But don't call it a smear. When Bernie Sanders tells the truth, because that's
Not. I mean, he's not saying she's a. It's like you know, he's not saying she's a communist or anything. He's just saying she's moderate.
It's
she's
moderate,
more
and he's a progressive,
pragmatic. Yeah.
And she's sitting there going, "I got the scars to prove it." Yes, sometimes Hills, but you know what? Sometimes you just weren't there. Sometimes you just went to Keystone Pipeline. You haven't been there for yonks. The only reason you opposed the Keystone Pipeline, Hills, is because you started getting pushed to the left by a lovable old guy from Vermont. You know? Am I right?
Am I right?
So, anyway, that's my... Oh, this is, by the way, just for your edification, Randy, top four... Five contributors to Hillary Clinton, 1999 to 2016. Could I have the trumpets, please? Because this really should be introduced.
Yeah, the fix it in post
trumpet orchestra. Here we go. Number one, Citigroup Incorporated.
Yeah, Citibank.
$24,402. Let's give them a hand. The cheer squad, Citigroup. Yeah, because they're fighting.
Yeah, both hands are in their
they're
pockets.
They're fighting for the working man. Wait a minute. I can't believe this. Look at this. On number two, Goldman Sachs.
Goldman Sachs!
$760,740. They've contributed $10,000 to her PAC and another $750,000 to another entity supporting her candidacy. DLA Piper. Yeah, I know. DLA Piper. I don't know, but it doesn't sound like a bunch of greenies. $700,530. And guess what, folks? Folks, I love this. I'm going to regulate the banks because they mean nothing to me. JP Morgan Chase is number four. $696,456. Yeah. And guess what? Rounding up the five, top five contributors to Hillary Clinton, folks. Morgan Stanley, $636,000.
564. Hillary, don't piss on my fucking shoes and tell me it's raining. You are telling me that you have no conflict of interest and you'll go after the banks and you can be trusted to do it. Then why are the top five contributors of yours, the four of them, are major banks?
And you don't think that that they're going to turn around and to get rid of that bill that's going to limit everybody again?
Yeah, well, you know, that's it. You know, I mean, she's not in favor of a Glass-Steagall Act, and there's a reason she's not.
Yeah. The new Glass-Steagall Act. Elizabeth Warren.
I don't know, when
Elizabeth Warren.
You know, this is something that's human nature, Randy. You know, when somebody gives me like millions of dollars, I like them. You know, I think that's human nature.
I don't know. I've never had that experience. But
evidently, Hillary can do.
Thanks for sharing.
Hillary can do a speech for like 15 minutes over Goldman Sachs and get $200,000.
Is that how much she got?
$400,000 in speaking piece last year from Goldman Sachs.
And you know, and she says, "Well, I don't know. It's what they offered."
Yeah.
It's what they offered. Yeah, I didn't negotiate that. It's what they offered.
Yeah, that's offered. What they offered. I had to take it. It's like Krusty the Clown. You remember that?
I thought it would be rude to say no.
Remember Krusty the Clown has that episode where he takes the kids to Tijuana and he goes, "They drove a tanker of money to my house. What am I made of, stone?"
Oh, Krusty.
Yeah, that's who Hillary is. She's Krusty the Clown, ladies.
Krusty Clinton.
Krusty Clinton the Clown. Okay, now listen, I do have one thing. I know I'm kind of like going on a bit, but...
Bill, it's your show. You can go on as long as you want.
I'll be very quick, but I really wanted to get your reaction to this. This is the Washington Post, the New York Times, all came out against Bernie, and the Atlantic Monthly. Now, this guy's name is Norm Ornstein, and Norm had this. I'm just going to read you the end of his article. He says, "Presidents always have to face serious constraints in their agenda with a handful of exceptions built around landslides driven by crisis or events. No candidate now running will transform the system in 2016. So you can all fucking go home, forget it. You may think that you're going to get popular representation and what people want, but fuck you, you're not going to get it. But some candidates would have an easier time governing through the dysfunction caused by the establishment that has rigged the game in the first place. Ron Brownstein's and others have noted that facing that reality could seriously hamper Hillary Clinton and her outreach to voters, demanding inspiration, not perspiration. That could well be true, but it also reflects her realistic understandings of the limits of American politics in this unfortunate day and age." They're unfortunate because of you, dickhead. Because you guys are panicking now. Because this guy has articulated and moved this entire discussion right to progressive principles. And it's getting fucking real now. And now you're going to see the establishment come at Bernie with this whole idea, well, you just can't do that. You know, you just can't have total health care. And my answer is, why not? They say that Hillary Clinton... That Bernie hasn't got a legislative experience to work with Congress. That's what they said. Norm Ornstein articulates. He says that he will not be able to work with a Congress. I'm telling you, look, Barack Obama didn't serve out a Senate term. Bernie Sanders has been in the Senate and more in the Congress for over 10 years. He's co-sponsored legislation with John McCain. He's more than qualified.
He was also a governor.
And he was Vermont, but he was a congressman. And then he was a senator. And the only way that Bernie Sanders has survived for as long as he has is because he knows how to work with legislators. And he has co-sponsored much legislation and some with Republicans.
And he's not afraid to say what he thinks.
That's right.
And he's not afraid to say what he
feels.
And
you know what? I'm not stupid, because if they're kind of thinking that anybody who votes for Sanders is kind of stupidly unrealistic. Let me tell you something, and this is just me. I don't think Bernie's going to be able to do things overnight. But you know what? I want somebody in that job that hasn't taken millions of dollars from the banks. I want somebody in that job who cares about health care to the point that he's willing to risk political capital to go and fight for an all Medicare system. But most of all, someone who's going to break up the banks and the politics and the money in politics and work on a constitutional amendment to get big money out of politics, because we don't do it now. You're dealing with an oligarchy. It's just pure and simple. The court, what he's talking about,
yeah.
And poll after poll, Randall, show that Bernie's hit the mark. This is a guy who was laughed at, and now he's going to bury Hillary in New Hampshire,
and I
now
hope
has
so.
Within
I hope
two
so.
Points nationally of an inevitable front runner.
But it has to be decisive.
Yeah.
I think even as close as Barack was, still think there was hope for Hillary. It's got to be really decisive before they even get to where they having their thing.
Cleveland. I think that Bernie has to do well in South Carolina. I think he has to go down into South Carolina and really push to make a dent in Hillary's strong support in the black community. And if he doesn't do that, then I think, but either one who wins, say Hillary wins, what he's managed to do is reset the conversation and force the political class to respond to these major issues that they were trying to ignore since Takeover Wall Street. Those protests were the start of this. And this is the finish. And this is a point in time when the Wall Street people can no longer ignore the popular consensus that our government is terminally sick and needs to be wrenched out of the hands of what are really just the corporate class.
Okay, 35%. 35%. That's how much the U.S. budget spends on the military.
Oh, I know. It's insane.
35%. Now, I was going to be one of my rants today or in the future, but I just thought I'd bring that up. That's something that has to be changed.
Of course it has to be changed.
I think Bernie Sanders would change that. I don't think Hillary would change that.
Of course not. Hillary was in favor of arming Syrians. I mean, she was one of the people in the Senate calling for arms to go to Syria. To a place where you don't know who's not crazy. You know, half of the arms we already sent there ended up in the hands of ISIS anyway. She was in favor of that.
Well, they were sent directly there before they turned nasty.
It's fun. So listen,
they just scratched out Osama bin Laden on the address label and rewrote in ISIS.
Yes, that's right. That's what they did. That's what they did. Hey, listen, Cenk Younger, you have a rant.
No. It's Cenk. Cenk.
Younger. Younger. Okay. Cenk. I've been calling you Cenk for a long time, but Cenk Younger.
And he hates it. He got a hold of me, and he taped something for me, which I'll play.
Okay, Cenk Younger is one of my favorite people. I think that TYT, the Young Turks, go to the Young Turks, become a member of the Young Turks, watch the Young Turks, fantastic broadcast. You know that all the progressive voices seem to have just been pushed out to, off MSNBC. You still have Rachel there and you still have a few people, but they're gone. So,
but you know what? It's Cenk that makes me think that the Bill Show ought to go visual, you know? Although you and I have a face for radio. That's for
right.
Sure.
I don't want to scare people. But, so listen, before before we have a break, because before we go to Randy's rant, this is Cenk Younger is talking directly about a tweet that Howard Kurtz made, literally Randy complaining about the fact that Rachel Maddow was a liberal And she was on the panel of the New Hampshire debate. And he goes off into a thing about the media that is absolutely priceless and so true. So what now, give me the pronunciation again proper.
Okay, it's Jenk, like Jenkins.
Jenk?
Uger. Uger, like Y-O-U-G-E-R-R-R-R-R-R-R. Jenk Uger.
Jenk Uger. Okay, here he is, Jenk Uger. And then we're going to go to a break, and then we'll be back with Randy's Rant.
Okay, I'm doing this video because I'm going to rage about a tweet that Howard Kurtz sent. Let me read you the tweet real quick. Rachel Maddow is smart and did a good job last night, referring to the debate. But why did MSNBC put a liberal commentator on that debate stage? Are you kidding me? So let's get this right from the establishment media. Everybody on the stage when it's a Fox News debate is conservative, deeply conservative, right? Brett Baer's conservative. You don't think Brett Baer's conservative? You have to be mental to think he's not conservative. Megyn Kelly's conservative. Chris Wallace is conservative. Fox News, don't bother lying that your hosts are not conservative. Who are you kidding? MSNBC has a host, liberal by definition. But the host of Fox News, not conservative. Are you joking, Howard Kurtz? The thing is, Howard Kurtz doesn't realize what a joke he is. He thinks, oh, what? Everybody on Fox News is fair and balanced. Come on, dude, even you don't believe that. That part he doesn't believe. But he thinks having one liberal commentator on a debate is outrageous and unacceptable, and then Howard Kurtz will turn around and call the media liberal. They're not liberal. If you have one liberal on, you guys flip out. Not allowed, right? How about Hugh Hewitt? He's put on the CNN debates. He's put on as a conservative. If you put on anyone, even if they're not identified as a liberal, how dare you? That person is actually liberal. Look, Howard and the rest of the mainstream media, I got news for you. The country is liberal. I know you hate it because you're the propaganda arm of the establishment. You don't even know. That part they don't know. Send this to Howard. Send it to everybody in the establishment media. Okay, you guys are corporate robots. You got hired to protect the status quo, to protect the establishment. You know who you work for? You work for a giant corporation. You represent multinational corporations. No, there's no smoke-filled room. I know that they didn't tell you, hey, Howard Kurtz, you must say this. But Howie, wake up. They hired you because they knew that you were a useful tool who would send out tweets like, no liberal should ever be allowed anywhere near a national stage. Why is Rachel Maddow out? Even though you have conservatives, wall-to-wall conservatives on Fox News, you have Hugh Hewitt on CNN, you have all of these people. So the reality is the country is center-left. Vox Morning Consult just did a poll. 54% of Americans say they would like a political revolution to redistribute wealth from the wealthy to the middle class. 54%, 73% say raise taxes on the rich. 66% say raise taxes on corporations. It's a real poll, it was just done. You have no excuses, the country is massively liberal. You refuse to acknowledge it, they'll look at this, go, oh no. Polls are ridiculous, my gut tells me that the American people are actually conservative or center right. Why does your gut tell you that? Because you got hired to be a useful idiot. They're like, this idiot Howard Kurtz will say there should never be a liberal on TV in the national stage. This idiot Howard Kurtz will say, my gut says the country is center right, even though the polling shows the country is massively center left. So you're the one who's biased. And in fact, there's not anywhere near enough liberals on those stages. All you do is push the national conversation further and further right. That's what you try to do. Sad day for you. We won the country over anyway. There is no liberal media. The establishment media is deeply conservative. The polling indicates it. The facts indicate it. And the fact that you can't recognize that, and you'll be angry about this if you work in the establishment media, shows that you don't get it, and you were hired not to get it. You were hired to do propaganda for those same corporations and that establishment. Well, guess what? The American people are about to put an end to that. That's what I wanted to tell you. Go send this to everywhere. Share it with them. Tell everybody their days are done.
Educates, syncopates, radio communicates, radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Now, here comes the music.
The first job of the president is to protect America. Our next president must be prepared to lead. I know Jeb. I know his good heart and his strong backbone. Jeb will unite our country. He knows how to bring the world together against terror, and he knows when tough measures must be taken. Experience and judgment count in the Oval Office. Jeb Bush is a leader who will keep our country safe.
Jeb Bush. Right to Rise USA is responsible for the content of this message.
Oh, my beer, lovely. Hello, I'm Helen Mirren, a notoriously frank and uncensored British lady. The collective, we are dumbfounded that people still drive drunk. So I'll sum it up like this. If you drive drunk, you, simply put, are a short-sighted, utterly useless, oxygen-wasting human form of pollution, a Darwin Award-deserving, selfish coward. If your brain was donated to science, science would return it. So stop it. Now, the chances are you're a fun, solid, respectable human being. Don't be a pillock. Your friends and family thank you. The friends and family of other drivers thank you. Your future self thanks you. This is supposed to be fun. Cheers. Nice and cold.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because, folks, it's time for another episode of Randy's Rant.
That intro makes me sound like I'm an absolute raving lunatic. But I can assure
you're not
you,
the one that just went on for a half hour. So
I'm not a lunatic.
No, of course not.
I'm not ranting.
Yeah.
I'm just a disappointed lad.
Why?
I know I've talked about this before.
Yeah.
I want to talk about it again.
Okay.
Because it's the elephant in the room, if you understand the metaphor.
Yes,
there's
I do.
A huge animal sitting on the couch.
Ow.
And nobody's talking about it.
Ow.
Now, this huge animal is Ted Cruz.
I'm imagining him naked standing on my coffee table. It's rather disturbing.
Yeah,
what does that say
gray,
about me?
Gray wrinkly skin like his father.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
And you're going to find this has got to be challenged now that he's won one of the primaries.
Yeah, I know.
Is the fact that is this man really eligible to run for president of the United States?
So you're going birther under the on Ted Cruz again.
Under the 14th Amendment of the Constitution.
Yeah, okay.
Is he a natural-born American citizen?
Sure.
Now, I hope that the original birther, which is the Donald...
Yes.
...goes as hard on this guy as he went on Obama. Because...
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right.
Because, honestly... I don't know that anybody is really talking about the elephant in the room.
Okay. Well,
Cenk Uygur, and yeah. I've got a wonderful clip of him. But let me just talk about the fact that even somebody born of two American parents
right.
in a U.S. territory, which was John McCain,
yeah.
had to have a motion of Congress to affirm his citizenship because
really?
Congress can bestow guaranteed citizenship on somebody. That's
right.
part of the 14th Amendment.
Uh-huh.
But so far, nobody suggested that for Ted Cruz.
Right.
Now, they said that our friend Barack Obama was not American because he may not have been born in America, yet his mother, as a U.S. citizen, born in America with a U.S. birth certificate.
Right.
If under their Donald Trump rules, there should have been no doubt
yeah.
that Barack Obama was American. But they say he's born in Kenya and he's a Muslim.
Yes, all this well. Stuff.
So the birthers
yeah.
are the biggest friggin' hypocrites in the whole world.
No,
now,
didn't,
this
you
has
didn't
either
know that.
Got to,
they're liars yeah. and hypocrites.
This has either got to go
yeah.
to Congress
yeah.
or to the Supreme Court, but only on a day when that idiot who gave George Bush the presidency is out of town.
Right.
What's his name? Scalia.
Yes,
get rid of him.
Yeah,
yeah. I want this dealt with because right now, it's the whole thing is going to fall in a heap if you get this guy winning too many more primaries without being declared a certified American citizen.
I don't think that's going to happen. You know,
I think it's going to happen.
No.
Okay. My friend Cenk.
Your friend Cenk now.
My friend Cenk Uygur, because I'm one of the three people in the world, apart from his parents, who know how to pronounce his name.
They pronounce his name right.
Cenk Uygur.
Yeah.
Has this to say about it.
Okay. So this is Cenk Uygur off the Young Turks once again. This is our Young Turks episode. A salute. A salute to you guys. You guys are great. Here, Cenk Uygur, and whether or not Ted Cruz should be worried about his citizenship. Here it is.
So lately, there's been a lot of talk about whether Ted Cruz is an actual natural-born citizen of the United States and hence eligible to run for president. One of the guys who brought it up, of course, is Donald Trump. He had said about whether Cruz is really a U.S. citizen, I don't know. I really don't know. It depends. Does a natural-born mean born to the land, meaning born on the land? In that case, he's not. So that's Donald Trump clearly bringing up the issue. In response to this, Ted Cruz actually had to get a birth certificate and bring it out. Now, you understand this. Ted Cruz is not born in the United States. Is he a current U.S. citizen? Yes, no one disputes that, right? The question is he a natural-born citizen, which is one of the requirements in the U.S. Constitution? Now, I have a unique opinion on that. I think that the 14th Amendment amended that earlier part of the Constitution, and all citizens have equal rights, and you could run for president if you're any citizen. All citizens are 100% equal because of the 14th Amendment. That's my opinion, but not the opinion of a lot of others. And so they say, wait a minute now, if you weren't born here, what is your claim to, they asked Obama to show a birth certificate, and he showed a short form and a long form. Now, when Ted Cruz shows one, it's from Canada. That's where he was born. He was a Canadian when he was born. So what birth certificate is he going to show? He's going to show his mom's. Well, this is interesting. So first, let's go to Raw Story. The campaign provided the certificate showing his mother, then named Eleanor Darrow, was born in Delaware on November 23rd, 1934. And his claim is, according to a lot of legal scholars, if one of your parents is a U.S. citizen when you are born, no matter where you are born, you are a natural-born citizen of the United States. Now, that's a pretty compelling case. But if it is, I wonder where all the birthers are. Orly Taitz. And all those birthers, where are you guys? I mean, Trump's obviously got a rooting interest here, so he showed up. He was one of the original birthers. But where are all the rest of the birthers? Because it is indisputable that Barack Obama's mom was born in the United States and was a U.S. citizen. Because they say, oh, yeah, Obama was born in Kenya, or he was born in Indonesia, or he was born on Mars. Okay, now, I would never grant you that because it's categorically untrue. But even if I granted you that, well, since his mom was a U.S. citizen, under Ted Cruz's definition, President Obama was always a natural-born citizen. Orly Taitz, where are you? Where are you? Because if you think Obama's not a natural-born citizen, you must, by definition, say that Ted Cruz is not a natural-born citizen. So I'm still looking for the rest of the birthers. Okay. Orly, where are you? Remember that crazy lady? Okay. Now, there are legitimate people who are concerned that Alan Grayson is actually not qualified, according to the Constitution, to run for president. One of them is Alan Grayson. He has a House seat in Florida, so he's in the U.S. Congress. Grayson has also challenged the idea Cruz's mother was a U.S. citizen at the time of his birth in 1970. An earlier report published by Breitbart showed that both of Cruz's parents were listed on a Canadian federal voter list from 1974. Wait a minute. That actually is an issue. Now, wait a minute. We know you're born in Canada. You're not born in the U.S. Your argument is one of your parents was a U.S. citizen. His dad's from Cuba, right? But if in 1974, remember, Cruz was born in 1970. If in 1974, both of your parents are voting in Canadian elections, that means they're Canadian citizens, not American citizens. Trouble. Okay, Grayson might be onto something here. Since only Canadian citizens are permitted to vote in federal elections there, the presence of Cruz's parents' names on the list raised the possibility that they may have been Canadian citizens at one time. And because becoming a Canadian citizen requires an oath of allegiance, And Section 349 of the U.S. Immigration and Nationality Act stipulates that American citizens who swear allegiance to another country may lose their American citizenship. It seems possible that Cruz's mother may have lost her American citizenship. This would mean that Cruz was not a U.S. citizen at the time of his birth and is therefore ineligible to become president.
Now, I'm not going to talk about this again unless it is not brought up by the Donald or by the Supreme Court or by Congress. But it's like somebody coming into your house and saying, I'm going to be the dad and whatever, and they're not a member of the family.
Yeah, and Cenk makes a fantastic point here. You know, where are the birthers? Where are the birthers? Yeah. I mean, the fact is, basically, and this really does support the point that you and I have made time and time again, this whole birther shit, it's about blackety-blick-black. It's about the black guy. It's not... Canadians, evidently,
half
that doesn't bother.
Half black.
It's the black guy. And if you don't think that the Republican Party and this far-right kind of birther bunch of lunatics... are not serious. Where's the indignation or investigation of Ted Cruz?
Yeah.
There's none. There's none. You know why? Because he's not black.
He's not black. He's white.
He's not black. The only thing he's going to do is play ice hockey and, you know, do good stand-up comedy. He's Canadian.
I don't think... He doesn't play ice hockey. He left when he was 4 years old.
Yeah.
And he doesn't do good comedy either.
I don't know.
Everybody hates him.
I saw
his old roommate hates him.
Oh, my God.
Everybody in Congress hates him.
Have you been watching it?
Everybody hates him.
Hates him so much, he's trolling him. Saying, this guy's a dick. This guy is such a fucking dick.
They tried to do it to Mitt Romney, too, with his college friends.
Well, yeah, because both of them were kind of dicks in college. I mean, Mitt Romney in his school made a hobby out of humiliating people and beating them up because he was a bully and strapping his dog to the fucking roof of the car for family trips. Poor, terrified thing. And good old Ted Cruz was such a huge penis in college that this man, who obviously any normal hatred would have died out a long time ago... Evidently, living with Ted Cruz has bent this man to such an extent that he's spending like 5 days a week trolling him, telling everyone what a fucking asswipe he is. So, I mean,
did you see his daughter piss him off at a couple of days
ago? There's something queasy about Ted Cruz, man. Ted Cruz is the opposite. Trump, I gotta say, the one decent thing, you know, Trump's a fascist. You know he's out there. When you look at Ted Cruz, that queasiness of kind of, those televangelists, you know?
Oh,
those guys you had last week who were justifying the reason they had evangelists. They had a jet.
They have the jets to be closer to God.
When you look at Ted Cruz, he's that queasy, holier than thou, and he's got a face that you really just want to punch. Come on, man.
It's that Pinocchio nose that just grows every lie he tells. See,
Marco, at least, is pretty. You know,
and the father.
The father is from Mooneyville. In fact, he
and the father's going to come to the White House, and do services and things like
he
that.
He is batshit crazy. I mean, he is ready for that nice little hospital where they have those kind of like little trips into town. And arts and
where's and the mother? We haven't met the mother.
Arts and crafts, kind of like on a Tuesdays. That's where Ted Cruz's dad belongs. He belongs in a nutty farm. And the
and where's the mother? Have you met them? Have you heard about the mother?
I think the mother was Satan.
is her name Rosemary? Maybe it's Rosemary's baby. No, it's Elizabeth.
Yeah.
But the point is that I haven't heard of the mother. Have they got her away in a box somewhere or in a closet?
I don't know. It's really terrifying. But all I can say is, like, you know, like, this show does, like, for example, the first segment, I was already pissed off at Hillary Clinton. You know, people like Hillary Clinton. I don't think Clinton's... Yeah. I don't think Hillary...
And she has brand recognition, like Donald Trump.
She's establishment, but I don't think she's an evil person in any way, shape, or form.
No.
I think that she is politically cunning. But I think that she's done very good. Even there are good things you can say about almost everyone except Trump and Cruz. You know? You know, I mean,
Carson.
And Carson, I'm sure he belongs at a train station.
He's the guy who just talks to you for no reason when the train's not there. Yeah.
I just want, he just talks in a soft little voice.
Yeah. And rocking a bit back and forth.
When I go to Washington, I'm going to have Kim Davies come and stay with me at the White House. Right. And I will send Air Force One to go and pick her up.
Yeah. It ever occur to you? I mean, the real problem is, at the heart of it, Randy, is that the Republican Party field is really just a bunch of assholes. There's not one person there that I would want to spend an evening with talking to.
Rand Paul, who's no longer there.
Rand Paul would be interesting. Give me Rand Paul.
He'd be all right. I could spend some time in a room with him.
I would say your domestic policy is crazy. And this libertarian shit that you go through, that's static. Okay, great, because we're not in the same place. Anyway, listen, we got to get going, I guess. Is there another thing that you wanted to bring up for Randy's Rant on this show 139?
No. I just hope that they put pay to this once and for all. Either he can run or he can't run.
Yeah.
If he can't run for president, the same thing, he shouldn't even be in the Senate.
That's right. Okay. Well, that's Randy's Rant for this this day. If you have a response to Randy's Rant, you know where you can go. You can go right to our website, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Bill Show on XBR at gmail.com. And you can heckle me or Randy anytime you'd like, 24/7. Okay. We're going to be back after this short comic break with our tinfoil hats for show 138.
In your face, all over the place. We're online 24/7. 24/7. You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Now, folks, I don't want to bring up any painful memories, but on Monday they held the Iowa caucuses, and this year they held it in the traditional state of Iowa. And the winners were Hillary Clinton and Ted Cruz. Not sure what they won. I'm guessing it's deep fried. And everybody else lost. And listen, here's the thing. I know that being a candidate, it can't be a picnic. Your every move is watched and criticized as you kiss babies and shake hands and do your best not to mix those two things up. And guys like me are just waiting for you to stumble. And that's not fair, okay? Just look for any mistake you've made. It's so cutthroat and heartless. It's like the Hunger Games. No, it's more than that. It's the Hungry for Power Games. Yes, welcome. Yes, my eyebrows are too excited to be contained by my forehead. Yes, welcome, citizens, to the Hungry for Power Games. Tributes, assemble! Just look at them, the pride of the districts. There used to be so, so many of them. Now there are just too, too many of them. I'm like a cheetah culling the herd. But alas, citizens, there has been a bloodbath in Iowa's cornucopia. An unprecedented harvest of brave tributes, including an old friend.
Kentucky Senator Rand Paul will suspend his campaign for the presidency.
Here was part of the statement that Rand Paul sent out. The fight is far from over. I will continue to carry the torch for liberty in the United States Senate.
Yes, the torch of liberty still burns. Just keep it away from whatever it is that's nesting on your head. The Kentucky senator and self-certified ophthalmologist started strong with a series of viral videos setting fire to the United States tax code, throwing it in a wood chipper and shredding it with a chainsaw. Now that his campaign is over, let us take a page from Rand Paul's book of heavy-handed metaphors. Goodbye, Rand. Your toast. Oh, no. There's nothing we can do. He remains white bread. On Monday, Dr. Paul came in fifth in the Iowa caucus with only 4.5% of the vote. You'd think, being an eye doctor, he would have seen this coming. Losing or losing. Losing or losing. Ah, I'm a pirate. Ah. Alas, people had such high hopes for Rand winning, in that those who hoped were clearly high. But Senator Paul should take some comfort in living up to his father's legacy of also not being president. Also tossed on the funeral pyre of politics this week was Democratic candidate Martin O'Malley, or as you may know him, do I know him? It seems that the high fructose voters of Iowa could not relate to a man in his 50s with abs like that. He'll now return to his natural habitat, playing sleeveless guitar in a Viagra commercial. But we have lost yet another tribute to the blood pits of Capital City.
Mike Huckabee announced he is ending his campaign.
It's time to officially suspend the campaign, but not because of the votes. It's because of illness. Obviously, the voters are sick of me.
Oh, good one. Oh, trades roll. Good one, Governor Huckabee. As they say, brevity is the soul of wit. And yours was a very witty campaign indeed. Huckabee's boldest stratagem was defending Kim Davis, the Kentucky clerk who refused same-sex marriage licenses and cream rinse. Huckabee even Hucka said this.
If somebody needs to go to jail, I'm willing to go in her place.
Yes, jail, the White House, anywhere the government is picking up the rent. He just needs a place to crash. And finally, we must honor our last fallen tribute, former Virginia governor and future not president of the United States, Jim Gilmore. Because when the votes were counted in Iowa, Gilmore won 12. Not 12%, not 12 delegates, 12 people. That's fewer than the members of Chumbawamba. I get knocked down. To put that, I get up again. To put it, never gonna put it in perspective. To put that in perspective, in layman's terms, if you lined those people up from end to end, it would be easy because there are only 12 of them. Keep this in mind. He only got 12 votes. That is less, and this is true, we looked it up, than the number of people in Iowa named Jim Gilmore. All of whom are now, because I said that, more electable than Jim Gilmore. Naturally, Gilmore withdrew from the race with the gracious, what? What's that? He's still running? Does he know that he's still running? Well, then let us now bid farewell to the fallen who have fallen. But for the rest, your time in the political arena is over. Tributes, your campaigns may be over, but your memory will live until we go to commercial.
Ah!
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to for our the news and commentary we listen to here at the Bill Show because we hate our own heads. It's our tinfoil hat segment this week. Randy, we were during the break. We were talking, as you do. We do.
We're friends off mic. Yeah.
You brought up a thing about Obama, the Supreme Court.
This is something I heard. I'd actually heard this before. People saying, what's he going to do afterwards? And somebody said, well, he should get appointed to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Because, of course, being a constitutional scholar.
Yeah, absolutely.
And having taught for, 12 years at Harvard Law, I can think of nobody better qualified.
Mm-hmm.
And Hillary finally came out last week and said, yeah, that's a great idea. If I'm elected, because the next president will have to probably appoint 4 justices.
Yeah, and that's a reason not to vote for the Republicans, no matter what happens.
Oh, yeah, you'll get weirdos and that Scalia guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, she said, Barack Obama would make an excellent Supreme Court justice.
I happen to think that he would be a much more progressive justice of the Supreme Court, and I don't think you have a problem confirming him. Seriously.
But I can't remember ever a former president taking a position within the government like that. Some of them have gone back into the House of Reps or the Senate, I would assume.
Mm.
But I think it's a great idea, and I hope she does it.
If she gets elected, and we certainly have not come to that point as of yet. Now guess what?
We don't have to think too hard for the X-Files music anymore because it's come back for 6
years. Yes, I know. I haven't seen it yet.
I've seen a couple. They're interesting.
Have you enjoyed them?
Well, yeah, but they use the same old late 90s title sequence where they're like little kids, Mulder and Scully.
Really?
And now they're two old farts complaining to each other.
Kind of like they could have a podcast.
He's a terrible cynic now.
Okay.
Anyway, you've got to see it. Sorry.
I will see it. I digress. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, so do I.
You have a classic tinfoil hat, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to let you introduce it.
This guy is a winner. You love this. As you remember, Pastor David Manning of New York.
Yeah.
We heard from him last
year. Yes, we did.
Because he said
that
they were making lattes at Starbucks using semen.
What kind of guy thinks this up? You know,
come again, you say?
Man, what kind of perverted guy thinks this fucking
anyway.
Up?
Yeah.
Only
so he
again.
Thought they you were know, using semen at Starbucks. Do. Of course, their sales went up.
Yeah.
But now that's a frappe. Yeah.
Anyway, we just earned
so
our rating.
Now,
thank
Pastor
you.
David.
Thank you there, Randy.
Yeah. Pastor David Manning.
Yeah.
This guy, real fire and brimstone black gospel preacher from this church in New York, they're being foreclosed upon for lack of paying bills.
Okay,
and guess what?
What?
The LGBTI community in New York started raising money on crowdfunding, and they're going to buy this church from this fire and brimstone anti-gay guy and turn it into a gay center. Anyway, I thought you'd like that. Now,
it's been a good
you
week,
haven't
Randy.
Heard you haven't heard this you, you haven't heard this yet.
Okay, here we go.
But please play Pastor David Manning's response to the LGBTI people who are going to buy his church.
Here's the clip.
But I see this, as many of the elders have discussed, as just more of an opportunity for us to get more press and to get more coverage to explain our position and as to who we are. Right now, the articles are jumping all over the place. I've gotten calls from everybody about this, the news organization. In fact, can I share this with you? To all the sodomites that think that you're going to purchase this church and foreclose yourself. Let me tell you something. Before you can ever own the Lord's house, because that's what this is.
That's right.
That this is the Lord's house. This ain't no damn bathhouse.
That's right.
This ain't no fag house. This is the Lord's house.
Amen.
And before you can ever own this property, hook or crook to own this property, you will be carried, men who are fags with testicles will be carrying babies in their testicles and giving birth to them through their anus. That's how impossible it is for you to get this house.
That's right.
When you start carrying a baby in your bags and birthing that baby through your ass, then you can own this house. Until I see you pull a baby out your ass, you ain't going to pull this church out from underneath to us. And boom, shakalaka goes right there.
Yes,
and all
was.
You fags can go to hell
do
it now. I'm James David Manning, everybody. I'm the Lord's servant.
Oh, dear. The pastor's had a bit of a meltdown. He seems very fascinated with orifices and excretions, doesn't he?
But unless you can carry a baby in your bags and pull a baby out of your ass, you ain't getting this fag house.
By the way,
it's on camera. He has a TV show on public broadcasting or something.
You must define to me, what is a fag house?
I don't know.
Is it like McDonald's? I mean, is it a franchise outfit?
But see, the thing is,
come to the fag house.
Yeah. But the thing is everybody forgets the women. Even the male homosexuals forget the women. Most homosexuals are not masculine females. They're just women who prefer the company of women. Yet everybody always makes this out to be an effeminate men thing. You fags! You make a fag pull out of your ass!
Yeah, I think it's time for the pastor's meds.
But I wonder if they're going to do it. They've already raised a lot of money.
Oh, I'll listen in. This is just hilarious. I'm having too much fun here.
They've raised a lot of money.
Okay, well, listen, I can't beat that, but I gotta end on this note. Ted Cruz's father. Where do I start?
Raphael Sr.
Oh, man. If Crazy had a dad... It's Raphael Sr. Raphael Cruz is the, of course, parental unit of...
Of Raphael Cruz Jr.
Douchebag boy. And then, evidently, when he became... he was thinking about becoming a president of the United States, a lot of praying was involved.
Is that P-R-A-Y or P-R-E-Y?
I think that we're getting into the P-R-E-Y part of praying. But evidently beforehand, he had to have a good pray before he contacted
the Holy Ghost told him to go and do it.
Yeah, right. So here is Raphael Cruz relating the heartlifting story of Ted Cruz and his family talking to their imaginary friends for evidently a long time before he became a candidate for president of the United States. Raphael Cruz.
Senior.
Uncle Crazy. I think between the two craziest fucks in the Republican Party or on the right, you really have to consider, first of all, the guy who just spoke, that pastor's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But Pat Robertson and Raphael Cruz have a kind of symbiosis thing happening.
Oh, dear Uncle Pat. No, please.
Hey, dear Uncle Pat. He's the record holder here on the Bill Show. So Raphael Cruz coming back with a vengeance, talking to the imaginary friend when he's thinking about becoming president of the United States. Here it is.
I would assume, you correct me, that you and your family, and especially Ted, have been called to run for president. How do you pray for him?
Well, I'll tell you, the decision to run for president of Ted was a long, long decision. Ted and his wife and family, they spent 6 months in prayer. just seeking the will of God as to what to do. And that culminated one time that the whole family was together, and even his senior staff. We were attending a church service all together at First Baptist Church of Houston, where he's a member. And after church, we went up to the pastor's office. We spent 2 hours on our knees seeking God's will about this decision. And it was there where Heidi said a word that, you know, I believe it was just inspiration from God. And she said, seek God's face, not God's hand. And that was just as if there was a presence of the Holy Spirit in the room.
Yeah, I hear my Lord. You know, what if the Lord said, you know, Ted, get me a beer. Why don't you work up the president? You know, it's such a very long shot. I think that the Lord should have started with some garden chores. And then
moved up to president. But what are they ever going to shut that man up if Cruz does get elected?
No, he's first dad.
Is he going to do services from the portico and stuff like that?
You know what I love is he sounds a bit like Tony Montana in Scarface.
Say hello to my little son. Say hello to my little son, the president.
Say hello to my little son. Let me tell you. Ted, he's playing for 6 fucking months. And then, as if a miracle, Club for Growth gave him $1 million. Oh, my Lord. Where did that come from?
But what on earth is going to happen to the new relations with Cuba?
What, with Ted?
Well, his father is a staunch anti-Cuban.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what's going to happen?
It's like, I don't know. Look, I don't think that Ted Cruz is going to make it to be president. I think that...
I hope it doesn't make it to be crosswalk inspector on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Absolutely, but I think Ted Cruz, literally, if Bernie runs against him, he's going to bury him.
I hope so.
If Hillary runs against him, she's going to bury him. I mean, he's just nuts.
Well, as the infighting in the Clinton Sanders camp stops, they've got to pull.
Oh, it will.
They've got to pull
Listen,
their heads
guys,
in.
You know, I got to say that on this show, I've attacked Hillary a few times because I think she's being disingenuous.
Yeah.
But I'll say this again: if you are a Sanders supporter, and Hillary gets nominated, and you sit on your hands. You're an idiot.
You're worse than an idiot.
Yeah, you're worse than an idiot. We have to be a United Democratic Party, otherwise we get nothing.
But she is, I mean, their camps are fighting. After Iowa, their camps were going at each other, and I don't think that's right.
Well, I think that's true, but I think what you're looking at is the cut and thrust of politics. And I really do support the fact that I don't think Bernie's said anything that isn't true.
I'm going to have to watch West Wing again.
Well, I don't think that Bernie has said, you know, his attack on Clinton of being a moderate to a progressive.
That's valid.
It's a completely legitimate judgment of her voting record.
Yep.
Okay, and I what bothers me is when she sits there and says things like that the health care proposal that he's advocating would abolish all the progress made by Obamacare is a blatant lie. It's just
true.
A lie.
If he he will actually take it to what it should be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, something, I know that Bernie Sanders will probably not be able to get everything he wants. But the trouble, the thing is, and this there was a great article that was I think it was the HuffPost, who basically said, no, I'm not unrealistic if I vote for Bernie. Look, I want that guy up there pushing for my interests. Mm-hmm. Big money has all these people pushing for their interests. I like the idea of somebody being at the presidency level who pushes for my interests. Whether or not I get everything, I'm not sure. But I want somebody who doesn't take money from these guys.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, but I mean, if I have to go with Hillary, next to Ted Cruz and Rubio, Waterboy, or crazy fascist Trump, hey, listen, man, I'm in the head of the line, whipping and making phone calls for her. Trust me, I'm not a lunatic.
Yeah,
I think
you're not a loser. Trump is a loser.
I wouldn't let these guys near electric, you know, power tools.
Yeah.
At all. Well, listen, that's about it, I think, for show 138. That's our tinfoil hats for the day.
Yeah, and it was a good show. I really enjoyed myself.
Well, I know, and if you enjoy yourself out there, please let us know. As you know, you can get the Bill Show, The Week in Politics, on iTunes. You can get us on Stitcher Radio. That's right, Stitcher Radio, the place to go if you want a show. That's right,
or,
Stitcher Radio.
Or
about 15 other different...
No!
www.expatprogressive.podbean.com is where we broadcast from. We've had a pleasing number of hits on our site. If you want to listen to us every week, then bookmark us in your browser, www.expatprogressive.podbean.com.
You're getting confused. Just go to the website.
expatprogressive.podbean.com, or go to our website, thebillshow.net. Everything Bill Show in one place. And please rate us on iTunes. We really know that we've gone past 500,000 people who have listened to our show.
Wow.
And
there are people with time on their hands, I'm telling you.
There evidently is. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to send a big hello out to Val in Great Falls, New York.
And she's still listening to us.
Actually, she's why we do the show. So, Val, I hope you've enjoyed this show, and we love hearing from you. So, come on. Are you playing with that sound effects thing again?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You are. Randy got a sound effects thing when he was in the United States, and he's playing with it, which is kind of playing with himself.
60 wacky cartoon sounds.
60 wacky cartoon sounds. Thank you for my Christmas present, Randy.
But I'm using it. Yay!
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to say goodbye. And to take us out, you have something special, Randy.
I think so. This is actually a couple of friends of mine did this in New York. They got together with a bunch of other Broadway singers and actors and did this sort of parody of Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical Cats, using all of the Republican candidates, and it's called Republicats.
Republicats. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen from Broadway, because we're Broadway people.
Yeah, we are.
We are. Ladies and gentlemen, taking us out, the cast of Republicats, including Tony Sheldon, who's a wonderful Australian actor who's been in The Producers here in Melbourne, Australia. It's the Republicats that take off on Andrew Lloyd Webber to take us out from show 138. We'll see you, Randy.
Yeah, see you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Another day, another Republican debate. But we never really get to know who the candidates are. So when Iowa called and said, oh, Lord Andrew Lloyd Webber, can you find a way to reach out to the caucus-goers in a populist way? I said, of course. But we're doing it on my terms.
Are you alive when you're born? Or when you're conceived? Are you solving gun violence at home while you pray?
Think that gays have a choice?
But that women should not?
Does the fish on your car keep the Muslims at bay?
Welcome to the Evangelical Ball. It wasn't easy scheduling them all at the same time. I mean, you know that old expression, it's like herding Republicans. But once they heard my idea, they pounced at the opportunity.
Cats is a lot like Jesus. It's now and forever.
I played Evita at a Hewlett-Packard retreat once.
Some of the cats backstage have taken to calling me Monco Rubio.
I'm obviously biased towards Jersey boys, but yeah, I do like cats.
I see Ted Cruz has taken the lead in several Iowa polls, so let's have him get the furball rolling.
I have another Bush in mind. His name is...
Jeb! Exclamation dot.
And though he's fallen far behind...
And I don't think there's a Republican out there who can change the litter box, which is Washington, D.C., like I can.
He tells all the voters...
Jeb can fix it.
But what this country needs is a woman who kicks it.
Christopher Christie will go down in history because he's enormously
flat. Not to mention the round tones and the morbidly obese vibrato.
George Pataki and Rick Santorum.
And there's nothing at all to be said.
Santorum needs to point those biscuit feet in the double cartwheel.
Meow. I'm absolutely great as Rum Tum Tugger. People love me.
But Donald Trump is an imperious cat.
I keep pissing out my mouth, but you'll always vote for me. Cause no matter what I do, I'm the friggin' nominee. But seriously, I don't understand. I've offended every single person on the planet. I never wanted to be here. I never wanted to run. It was just a giant joke with my poker buddies. So now this is my last-ditch effort to get out of this godforsaken race. Do not vote for me. You're all idiot, fat, homo, disabled Chinese with retarded, lazy, undocumented loser children on their periods. There's no doing anything about it.
Of course, Cass Kasich is the silent cat. They don't let me talk in the debate. They don't let me sing in the show.
My great muses, Sarah Brightman, Sierra Borges, Lindsey Graham.
Lindsey Graham, the dandy cat, that pussy from the south.
Back when Trump gave out my cell phone, then in households I was well known, and my popularity began to flower. They said, Lindsay, give us Lindsay, but they waffle on a whimsy. Now I'm relegated to an early hour.
Why does everybody ask if I was a performer?
I was a gosh dang pilot in the Air Force.
Rand Paul! Rand Paul!
Rand Paul!
You know, I think...
Ugh, Rand Paul...
They say Dr. Carson tells lie after lie, but we say it's them who have all gone awry.
I raise elephants, taught Churchill, and I can fly.
He ought to be called Dr. Honesty.
When you're worried Kim Davis is getting harassed, he pulls Jim Crow references out of his ass. And we all say,
oh, well, I never...
I knew Huckabee was my misto because he's full of tricks.
Minister, Mr. Mike Huckabee.
Amen!
Oh, well,
Mr. Mistopheles' magic is wholesome.
Midnight, they have all strayed so far right and abolished the memory of the way we began. A progressive party. Now you've all gone cat shit crazy. Jesus, you claim you live like Jesus, but you cringe at the memory of what we have become. A new guy has a gun.
Tim Rice threw in those lyrics at the last minute. I didn't have a chance to approve. And now the cats make their evangelical choice and select a candidate to ascend to the executive branch.
Vote, 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 make America great.
Again.
Up, 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 to the executive branch.
Donald
Donald Trump is not going to get the nomination or the Tony.
Now that's perfect theater.
On the dancing and Carly in kitten heels.
It was amazing.
It was tremendous.
Oh, so much fun.
I laughed, I cried. It was cats.
So this is this, and that is that. And that's how you want that. A republic.
Republicat. An American musical
by T.S. Eliot, Andrew Lloyd Webber, and Ben Carson.